We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tuesday, January 15th. Miami Heat Beat is hosting another watch party poolside at Duffy's in North Miami. Come out and watch with us as the Miami Heat take on the Milwaukee Bucks at 8 p.m. There's going to be games, drink specials, and you'll even have a chance to win Heat Beat's newly released Justice Better t-shirt. Plus, someday you'll be able to tell your grandkids that you were there when Five Reasons finally broke their watch party curse. Okay, fine. I'm not making any promises, but we're 0-8 right now and this fucking losing streak's gotta end at some point, right? So come on down and hang out with some of your favorite Heat Beat personalities as well as other members of Five Reasons Sports. That's Tuesday, January 15th. Poolside at Duffy's, 3969 Northeast 163rd Street, North Miami Beach. Tip-off is at 8 p.m.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, we have producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins.
Hello, welcome back.
We have our Heat Twitter president, Alf.
What a guan.
The what?
Leaf, can you explain? Can you explain
that? Did you say what up, iguana?
You call him Leaf.
I said Leaf. I did say Leaf. Yeah. Leif, can you explain to him what I said?
Not if you call me Leaf, man. No,
I said Leif.
I ain't got nothing to do with this conversation.
That's our saucy
what a
nuggets
guan,
inside.
I said. What a guan.
Can somebody explain this to me?
My youth.
Saucy nuggets, lefty Leaf. Could you explain that to me? Heat Beat Insider?
I refuse to.
Okay, then we are moving on.
Ask a Jamaican.
Oh, my best friend's Jamaican. I will text him as soon as the show's over. And we are part of the Five Reasons Sports Network. I am contractually obliged to remind you to listen to our family of shows from Ballscast to Ethan and Chris Whittingham's Five Reasons flagship, OJ McDuffie show, Chris Chambers, all the stuff on the network. And importantly, we're having a watch party January 15th at Duffy's in North Miami as the Heat take on the top-seeded Milwaukee Bucks. Tip-offs at 8 p.m. Come with some shirts, drink specials. We're going to have games. We're going to have the game. All your favorite Heat Beat and Five Reasons peeps are going to be out there, so come check us out. Come have a beer with us. Come have a drink with us. Come up to me, and I'll take Jaeger shots with you. I'll do whatever you want. Just come out, have fun. Last watch party was cool. Alf, how badass was that?
We were
poolside.
Are you whoring yourself out there?
I want people to come. No, because last time
I'll
was so fun.
I'll do whatever you want. That sounds funny, man.
I'll do whatever you want.
Okay.
I'll let you pick my Bumble bio if you want. Just come on and support. You know, do whatever. Just have fun with us. We're going to be poolside. It's also dockside, so if you want to bring your boat in, you can legit, like, pull your boat in and, like, watch the game from your boat, because we had a big-ass projector right on the water, right next to the pool. Huge, great crowd of listeners and Heat Twitter people, so that was a lot of fun, and we're doing that again at Duffy's in North Miami. Check that out. Check out at MIA Heat Beat. All right. So we haven't been on this calendar year. I know that Brian dropped the Best Of podcast on the New Year's Eve. However, lots of stuff has happened. So last night the Heat lose to the Hawks, which felt anomalous, and we're going to get into that in length later. But the main thing I kind of want to start with is D. Wade coming back in the All-Star ballot, like on the fan voting, looking good, second place among guards. Brian, do you have those numbers?
Dwayne Wade has 409,156 votes. He's second in guards in the East. First is Kyrie Irving with 910,000 votes.
And knowing how Kyrie is, he'll probably get hurt. He'll get an ankle sprain, or he'll, like, hurt his knee. He'll get tendonitis, and he won't play. So, like, D-Wade's looking pretty good.
The third place is Kemba Walker with 319,000 votes.
Did I just tack on, like, an extra 200K votes for him?
You sure did.
And
that's that culture.
Yeah. All-Star games in Charlotte this year, which I think we might have a couple people going from our site.
Maybe. I emoji. We cannot have Kemba Walker in an All-Star game starting. We can't do
it. I know we're supposed to pump up Dwayne, but maybe the best thing to do is, like, just cause some, like, controversy around Kemba. Or just, like, make up a rumor.
I like that. Just, so we, like, just, we complete, sabotage. We sabotage complete, the others.
Yeah, complete slander. Like, let's just make,
like Kemba's going to be traded to the Heat?
No, something worse. Like, he separates families at the border. Some show.
He's a Trump voter.
Yeah, just play yo.
He's MAGA. Somebody Photoshop a MAGA hat.
Yeah, let's have Brash Photoshop a MAGA hat on Kemba. Actually, that might raise his value in North Carolina.
Oh yeah, no. We got to workshop this. But dude, who the hell wants Kemba Walker starting in the All-Star game over Dwayne Wade?
The entire city of Charlotte.
Who cares about them? They're Charlotte. Michael Jordan.
Even the people in Charlotte would rather see Dwayne Wade in the All-Star
game.
Yeah,
for real, dude. They don't want to watch Kemba. Like, and now the way the All-Star team works is that, like, people pick teams. I mean, Wade and LeBron, one last time. How is that not something that people want? You think LeBron would use his first pick?
I mean, obviously, it is something that people want. Look at the voting, man. Like, that was really surprising. I think sometimes we down here, because we have a complex about this stuff, like, we don't realize how much Dwayne's beloved around the NBA. Like, we see it, like, you saw it last night in Atlanta. Like, that was wild, man. Like, every time he did something, like, it was the loudest cheer of the night. It was.
I mean, but Atlanta cheers for every other team except their own.
Oh, that's true, man. I told you guys I used to have season tickets for that team.
They have more video tributes for other players than they do for their own.
Like, what are they going to keep doing, the Dominique Wilkins tribute? Like, after a while.
What do they got? Yeah. Yes, I moved to Josh Smith and Joe Johnson. Like, those are the glory days.
Mookie Blaylock highlights. Like,
the one thing about the voting, though, is that I don't think the starters are completely on fan vote. Like, I think that there's a percentage of it that's weighted by the fan vote, and then the rest is done by some select media members, and then I think other players or something like that.
Oh, but other players will vote, Dwayne. I think other players, I think fan, and if we got the fans and we got the players, I think this works out in our favor.
You know, like, that makes sense why he's giving me all these jerseys lately.
Oh, Dwayne's so woke. Light years ahead.
Yeah, he's signing autographs at opposing arenas. People are going, Dwayne's not a bad guy. I'm voting for him.
It's like conditional. Like, he's like, we're going to do this jersey thing, but can you at least
hook it up? Hook it up with a vote, you know? He, like... So the way that it works now is that, so players, there are captains, right? The top vote getters get captains. So probably LeBron and Steph or whatever would again be the two, like, or does, whatever.
Isn't it LeBron and Giannis?
It would be LeBron, I guess, yeah. So the two top vote getters, LeBron would obviously be one of them. LeBron picking Dwayne first? Is it like LeBron burning his first pick on Dwayne?
Yes.
Like, you have to for the homie, right?
100%, for sure.
Because, like, you know, LeBron still thinks he's going to win anyway. Actually, no, they don't really care about the game. Like, he just wants lobs. That's all he wants.
He wants to play with the homie, dude.
Do any of you guys get, like, really annoyed by, like, the All-Star game purists? who get or are any of you guys All-Star Game purists where you get mad at the fan vote? Like it used to bother me
when my favorite players weren't rewarded.
Like, who gives a shit? Like, I never understood that. Like,
it's changed.
Fans don't know anything.
Like, I remember back in the day, All-Star voting being like if you got voted into the All-Star game, it was a huge deal. And particularly when you had never had an All-Star except Alonzo and, you know, Tim, like, it had taken a while. So, like, at one point it mattered. But now, like, once you've had all these multiple All-Stars and you realize what the game has kind of turned into, like, it's just a popularity contest. Like, why are we taking that so seriously? Like, I think the coach vote or, like, the reserve vote in general is probably a more compelling thing versus the starters.
But my biggest argument is, like, who is this game for, right? It's not for basketball purists because, first of all, we're going to complain about the game no matter what, and we're going to watch it anyway. It's to bring in casuals. How do you bring in casuals? You put the 10 biggest names on the court to start the game. Like, there's a lot of casual fans or, you know, people who barely watch basketball who know who Dwayne Wade is. There's a whole lot of people who have no idea who Kemba Walker is. So you have to get eyes on the game. Why would you, like, if you're going to sit there and put out Nurkic and all, like, all the, you know, the analytics all-stars, like, who gives a crap?
Paul Millsap, yo.
Yeah, I know he scores 12 points a game, but his plus minus is off the charts. Well, let me run to my TV and watch this guy box out really effectively. Like, that's not what the game is for. The game is for
those dribble handoffs, Alf. Let me tell you.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Dribble handoff all-stars.
People out there quoting net rate. Shut up. Nobody cares about net rating. It's an all-star game.
Wow. I will say that.
You take a shot at Nikias.
Yeah, dude. Poor Nikias.
Yeah. See, Nikias is a guy that the All-Star game is not for Nikias, like, at all.
No, it's not.
It's not for anybody on this podcast. Anybody
do this for Wade at all?
I like the All-Star game. I know it matters to players. Like, I'm sure that this matters for Dwayne. Like, it has to matter for Dwayne. It's his last one.
I understand. Like, that part matters for the players. Because
you're kind of judged. Like, you know, when guys go in the Hall of Fame, it's like 10-time All-Star, 8-time All-Star, 4-time. You know what I mean? Like, that stuff is added to your resume, so in a way it kind of does matter for the players, because, you know, that's kind of how you're looked at, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you
kind of
look at the Wikipedia article has right under, you know, your accomplishments.
One or two All-Star games has you on the borderline, you don't deserve to be a Hall of Famer.
I mean, but it's just, you know, sometimes guys only have four or three, you know what I mean? It's like, especially like in the Western Conference.
Like, you weren't even the best, you weren't even one of the three best forwards during your playing career. Like,
I think that's why people would be upset at the guard voting, because this is probably one of the only time that Kemba would be able to start. Like, now,
this isn't what's going to keep Kemba out of the Hall of Fame. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you, when we look back, oh, that one time Dwayne Wade on his final year got the All-Star start over Kemba Walker is not going to be the talking point when Kemba Walker doesn't get into the Hall.
So what are we calling this? Because we, as a show, are officially doing a movement to get Dwayne in the All-Star game. So what's this? What movement are we going with, Alf? What's the hashtag?
We're going to go with Wade Weekend.
Wade Weekend. It's his weekend.
Yeah, because I think the Heat are doing one last chance.
Yeah. For one last, it's Wade's weekend. Like, give him, man, think of how cool that's going to be. Wade. It's like the entire weekend is going to be about him. It's going to be this generational player, a top 25 player ever, one of the best human beings to ever touch a basketball. It's his last time kind of being the center of basketball, right? Like, Dwayne has been at the center in 2006 and with the Big Three, and he's always been, you know, he's been an important figure in basketball. And this is probably going to be the last time that he's going to be this at the center of everything, because, I mean, unless the Heat are making a playoff run for a championship, which I'm not. I mean, maybe a second round appearance, but
wait, like, this why could, not?
I'm sorry, yeah. Justin's yeah, better.
You think he's gonna Kobe Chuck?
Thinking of,
oh, he better
in the All-Star game. He better, dude. It's about him, and they're gonna probably try to get him the MVP.
Magic Johnson.
They gotta put Dwayne, because Kemba will probably get in on the coach's vote, you know, if he doesn't get in, voted in. And if that does happen, they have to separate them, because Dwayne needs to get the MVP. And, like, we can't have, like, the team trying to feed both of them, because, you know, Kemba's a home guy.
The system voting, just so we all know, is 50% fans, 25% media, 25% players vote.
Anthony Chang, do the right thing and vote for Dwayne. Ira, Barry, I'm calling you all out.
I wish we had a vote.
We should get a vote. Ethan, make this happen. Ethan, get us a vote. Get all 10 of us a vote.
They would be like, the only guy qualified enough to vote is Nikias, and he's the only one who doesn't care about the All-Star.
Yeah, Nikias, he'll forego his vote.
He won't forego. Wait, we're on the blue book. You don't think we get a vote?
That's right, we're on the blue book. That's true. Get us a damn vote, Ethan.
Nikias is gonna base it completely on stats.
The guy's gonna have a spreadsheet. He's gonna graph it.
It's going to show you who's most deserving of an All-Star vote because of net rating or something. It's gonna end up being
on-off. This is a series of on-off stats.
Yeah,
win per possession.
But I'll balance it out though, because if I get a vote, I'm voting for Justice Winslow.
That's what I'm saying. If they gave all 10 of us a vote, there'd be like some weird, like, why does Justice Winslow have 10 All-Star votes? Why is he a starting point guard in an All-Star game?
Why is DJJ getting votes?
Because he deserves them.
Why didn't Hassan Whiteside get a single vote?
Shocker.
Oh, my God. So, kind of talking from DJJ, he's been amazing. Like, Eric Reed at the beginning of the season saw him as a first round talent, and I kind of laughed at that. I was like, come on, man. The dude has been flat out awesome. Like, for him to be a positive on the court this quick and just getting deservingly crunch time minutes, and like, they play great basketball when he's on the floor. He helps them in a lot of ways. The only thing he doesn't really do is spread the floor, but you know, they've had enough offense where that doesn't matter. Like, he's been the most, I would say, the most surprising part of this season, that given that Justice Winslow has gone crazy since around Thanksgiving. So I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm like super happy that they found yet another diamond in the rough.
Nah, man, I agree. Like, the cool thing about him is, like, he's learned how to use that athleticism and not just jump around like an idiot. Like, he's using it for rebounding, blocking shots. Like, he's taken all that crazy length and athleticism and stuff that seems like it's only good for a dunk contest and actually turned it into viable NBA skills. His activity around the offensive glass, I've never seen anything like it. Like, he thinks he deserves every offensive rebound, and he's going to jump over the 7'2" guy to get it. It doesn't matter. And, like, it's just fun and it's refreshing. And I wrote it on Twitter. It's one of the coolest things when him and Bam are in, the Heat are the more athletic team on the floor. Like, when's the last time we could say that? Like, we haven't been the more athletic team on the floor in a long-ass time. Even during the big 3 years.
Yeah.
Because, like,
even before Eric Dampier and Mike Bibby.
Like, when was it? Like, if you really think about that.
I can't even – I mean, maybe Dwayne's first year?
Yeah, like, with Elo and Karan and them guys?
Yeah, because, I mean, in big 3 years, it was guys like Udonis Haslem, Mike Miller, Shane Battier, Ray Allen.
That's the peak of athleticism.
Yeah, Rashard Lewis.
LeBron kind of made it.
Rashard Lewis was getting finals minutes.
LeBron, I mean,
even the year, even the year they went young after that tank 2007 season. I mean, Chalmers and Beasley are not like these hyper athletic young players, and neither is Darrell Wright or stuff like that. So
yeah, don't sleep on Jamari Moon.
Jamari jumped
over the moon.
Yeah, we said that at the same time.
This season has been so weird because in the games where we're winning and we're starting to climb back up through the standings, it's happening and the young guys are kind of leading it. And as much as I kind of wanted us to punt this season, when you see the young guys being the ones, the catalyst to win games, that's fun. So, like, now I'm engaged in a different way than I was earlier. So in some kind of weird way, the Dragic injury is really like a blessing from a fan perspective, is the way that I watch the game. Like, it's fun now. Like, I'm having fun whether they win. And like last night, I kind of feel was an anomaly, but with this team, because they've gone sour so many times, you don't know if, oh no, here comes another 6-game losing streak or something crazy like that. But it's been fun. I mean, like, I was feeling bad about this year until this Justice thing popped off.
But what's happening is, like, they're making the case for why, and I know Leif wants to get into it, why are we keeping some of these older guys around that actually have value that we could trade? I mean, even if it's for second-round picks, you see what the Heat can do with a second-round pick. Josh Richardson is a second-rounder. DJJ, was he even drafted?
He might have been undrafted.
He might be under. I mean, they get all these bottom of the scrap pile guys, and they're doing great with them. Like, why aren't we looking at, okay, what can we get for Ellington? What can we get for Magruder? And because you're seeing that when you play the young guys, you actually can win. And even if you don't win, at least it's like a learning experience. There's something to grow from. Like, there's nothing to grow from if you're just – if you're trotting out Rodney Magruder as you're starting small forward.
But think about the guys that they have on the team. Like, the guys that are playing significant minutes. Josh Richardson, second rounder. Justice Winslow, lottery pick. DJJ, undrafted. Tyler Johnson, D-League. Hassan Whiteside, D-League. You know, Bam, drafted.
Whiteside was a second round pick.
Whiteside was a second round pick. Like, this is they've Rodney Magruder. Like, they've largely just found dudes. I mean, James Johnson was just a dude that they brought here, right? Like, he was a guy that was largely considered a failure throughout his career, and he brought him here and he overachieved. And by the way, he's been playing very well of late.
Yeah, he has.
He's been out.
Last night was.
Not good, but nobody was good last night. I mean, they were.
Nobody was.
I mean, Christian Hernandez, our statistician, posted a tweet earlier about like their shooting percentages on uncontested shot. I think they made like three baskets that were wide open, and it's just like they got 40. It was something like insane like that. And
yeah, it was that yesterday. I feel like it was a throwaway game. Like, I don't really feel like you could take a lot from what happened yesterday.
Miami shot.
They went out
23%
Saturday night in Atlanta. They did a strip club deal.
They were in Magic City all night, man. I've been to Magic City. It's hard to go home.
Is Atlanta hard like that?
I've been to Magic City broke. Imagine if I had money.
I don't think Kelly is the kind of guy who'd do that.
Well, Kelly was up late waiting for everybody.
Yeah,
so.
Kelly was wearing his thing.
I could see Kelly Olynyk in the lobby with a robe. Like tapping his foot as everyone walks in, like looking at his watch. Like, really, guys? Come on,
fellas. I don't know. This team doesn't look like they have a lot of partiers. Like, even Hassan. Like, Hassan just stays home with his fish and plays Xbox.
They were at Magic City. That's how we. That's how we're gonna.
That's how we're gonna talk us out of this loss. Yeah.
I bet JJ and Dion would go out and party.
Yeah, JJ and Dion for sure. Dion first hits the buffet and then he parties.
Dion was at Waffle House till like 6:30 in the morning.
You know, I've only been to a Waffle House once. I wasn't impressed.
How drunk were you?
I was stone sober. I went for breakfast.
No, ew, dude. You never.
What is wrong with you?
I heard people talk so much about how great Waffle House was, and I was like, all right, let's go to a Waffle House.
I thought it opened at 1 a.m.
Yeah. Like, honestly, you have to take a breathalyzer test to get in. Like, you're not drunk enough for this food.
They got like bouncers at the door.
Yeah, you gotta go in there like shitty drunk or high or whatever your personal vice is. You gotta get like on that Frisco melt, I think it's called, which is something I would never eat sober.
What the hell's a Frisco melt?
It's literally like Texas toast, a burger, cheese, bacon, and some strange sauce that I wouldn't trust.
Where's the waffle?
Oh, you get a waffle too. Like, you gorge yourself on the worst food of all time, and it's delicious. It's just like it's not White Castle, Crystal Burger in Atlanta.
Oh, God.
It was either Crystal or Waffle House. I could not eat a Crystal Burger sober to save my life. When I was drunk, I'm like, yo, give me like 20 of them bitches. And I'm going ham. Anyway.
I feel like we all learned something today.
I don't drink.
I like your food takes better than G's.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm looking for Yelp reviews. I'm like, oh, 3.5 stars. Would catch me dead in there.
He's a food snob.
I use that. I want to talk a little bit about the zone defense, and it's going to be very brief, but like, Spoelstra does his best work when, excuse my language, Brian, write this down, when he just does bullshit. Like, bullshit's the stuff that works with Spo. You did not, or you did?
I'm not gonna write it down.
Okay. Oh, whoa, with that. So like
Rebel.
Spo, and he's kind of historically always, even with the big three, like they would do bullshit. Like, they run kind of weird sets and they do funky things with guards as bigs. And now what he's doing is this like weird zone that has been oddly really effective when there's a league right now that all it does is shoot a bunch of threes. And the zone defense, they have about like 8 of their possessions. Our zone defense, which is quite a bit. And they have double the amount of zone possessions as the next highest team, which is the Knicks, which is just like crazy. So they're just running massive amounts of zone and it's working. And they're allowing 0.85 points per possession. So like, it's like great. Like, this has been mind-blowingly effective at a time when the NBA, like, you would think that wouldn't work. And I cannot explain it.
I feel like the zone was a product of Spo throwing his hands up and saying, I don't know what the hell I'm about to do with this season. And he gave it a shot and it's worked. And, you know, I actually was talking about it with a friend of mine, and he said, maybe the way that you beat these Golden State Warrior type teams that are really spreading you out is if you had five LeBron like athletes with playing like a matchup zone. And like, maybe that's what this evolves into as a way of combating that style of play. And I don't know. I mean, maybe there's something to that, but it's been fun to watch, but not aesthetically pleasing to watch.
No, I think what Leif is saying is right. I think what happened was, if you remember the beginning of the year, they were scoring a bunch of points and they were losing. Like, because they're trying to, like, Spo would love to play fast, loose, and free, pace and space. He just does not have the horses for that offense. Like, they can't sustain it. So he decides, you know what? I'm going to muck this thing up. I'm going to slow it down. I'm just going to make the most disgustingly slow. Like, there's been times off of a defensive rebound. Like, you literally see Justice Winslow look up, like, want to run and just say, you know what? I'm just going to try. Like, less possessions, the better, because we're not good at offense. So let's slow this thing down. And I think that's what the zone does. Like, a lot of times you just see them taking really bad shots because nobody knows what to do with the zone anymore because they've been out of college for 10 years. So, like, I think Spo just said, listen, I want to win. So here's what we're going to do. It may not be fun. It may not be aesthetically pleasing. It may not be 2019 basketball, but what it is, it's going to win us some games. And listen, I mean, more power to them. Like, you got to take your hat off to them for, you see yourself in a situation where you're probably not going to succeed. So yeah, you pull something out your ass and see if it works. And so far it's worked.
The Heat are 25th in pace since November 27th. So that's around the time that this all started happening. And, yeah, I mean that would exactly tell you what you're seeing is that they're mucking it up, they're playing slow, and they're trying to force turnovers. They're not trying to, like, the turnovers have been kind of the tell for them. If they turn the ball over a lot, they lose because they're not good at offense and they can't be giving away free baskets like that. And they have a lot of takeaways. Like, they have really active guys, like DJJ is super active. Dwayne's always been an active in the passing lanes guy, Justice as well. So
this team to me, if they had a superstar that they could run with,
Jimmy.
Okay, like, if they had a superstar that they could run with, yes, they could play fast. They do have they have the athletes to do it, but the problem is they don't have a leader to lead them in that way. They don't have a guy that they can really rely on to get consistent buckets. So if like we've always said, they got a bunch of role players. And Goran, as much as I love him, like, Goran will score his points. This year, it's almost like he's a little bit slower. He's taking a step back. But Goran's not going to get other guys involved. Like, we know that at this point. Like, let's stop pretending that
Goran is too risk-averse sometimes, and that's kind of what I really like about passing. Justice.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, Goran doesn't want to make the... And part of it, I think, is size. And he's a really smart player, and he's like, I'm not going to do what I probably can't do. Justice is a guy that's really ambitious with, so he tries to really get it. He tries those cross court after he penetrates, and that's really helped kind of loosen everything a little bit. Like, they're not great at offense, but they're good enough to win basketball games because the defense has been awesome.
He's doing some of what Deion was doing during the 30-11 run.
Yep,
where Deion was just like kamikaze to the basket, and he started finishing better, but he also started slinging that thing around the 3-point line, and guys were hitting shots like. It works when we can break down the defense a little bit, and also when Hassan's not standing in your way.
And it's helped Josh too. I think that's like an underrated part of this is that he's been able to get back to defense and got the ball out of his hands. You got Justice going downhill, and that's something that Josh doesn't really have that aggressive nature to kind of attack. And Justice is doing that, and he's getting guys involved. Like it's fun to see him get 10 assist games and 9 assist games and stuff like that. And are we a Spo apologist podcast? Because last night on the timeline, everyone was trashing him because Deion and Ellington did not play 1 minute. And here we are applauding him saying what a genius he is for implementing the zone.
I don't think it's right to like criticize Spo for not playing Ellington and Deion when like, Ellington hasn't played in a long time, and you're just going to drop him into a situation where no one's playing well.
He hasn't played well in a long time. Not just hasn't played. Like, he was terrible, terrible when he was playing. He couldn't hit anything. He couldn't defend anybody. Like, it was just, it was a nightmare when he was out there.
Just want to state for the record that they exercised caution and did not give him a 4-year deal. Moving on.
Thank God.
He, like, this year he's taking a step back shooting. He's at 36.5%, which is really down from his almost 40% year last season. So what Alf's saying, like, he's not been that elite shooter, and he does shoot volume. So I don't think just throwing him into a situation would have been the best idea.
I could understand. I could understand last night, like, you weren't winning anyway. You couldn't generate any offense. Like, why not? Like, those guys at least will chuck it up and see what happens. But at the same time, like, we complain all the time, like, oh, the young guys aren't getting enough run. They're not getting enough minutes together. The time that they get the minutes together, yeah, they had to take an L. They had to, yeah, make them eat that L. Like, it's so dumb. Like, the guys you wanted to play played a ton of minutes last night, and they got their asses kicked. Let them get their asses kicked. You want to trot out, Deion to save the day? Like, long term, like, what is that helping? Oh, cool, you beat Atlanta. Like, yeah great.
He's talking out of both sides of their mouth. You're right.
I think, and these are growing pains that are important. Like, guys have to play together, have to figure things out, and you leave your young guys in. Like, hey, guys, figure this out. Like, shoot through it. And, again, the Heat last night got all the shots they wanted. They had a bunch of wide-open shots, and they shot 23% on wide-open, uncontested shots. You're going to lose, and that's fine.
This fan base has no idea what it wants sometimes. Like, we were pissing and moaning about old guys playing way too much. And then yesterday, the complaint is we need more Ellington and Waiters. Like,
we need more Waiters is a funny sentence.
You're going to get it. I predict that tomorrow night they let the leash off Deion Waiters.
Yay.
Really? You know, I was yay. I saw some people on the timeline conspiracizing that Deion's that post game with Jason Jackson was the last, like, that ended his Heat career. Some people felt that.
His Twitter account, his Instagram account's not much better either.
I mean, he's mad. Like, he's not.
Like, we got a screen cap from Alex. He posted in our group chat. His last comment said, "Hey, big homie, tell Spo to play you. Shake my head. Ain't no way you should be playing. It's an offense." He replies back, emoji, a shaking emoji, and a little Kanye West.
And then he was. Yeah. Then
can Brian read that again? Because I think
that for everybody, because now they definitely got it.
I think Brian reading that is hilarious. Brian, please read that comment.
Tell Spo to play you. Shake my head. Ain't no way. Hell, you shouldn't be playing. Instant offense. Waiters.
Shrug. It's a shrug.
Brian just pantomimed the shrug like we're
Brian,
on TV.
Yeah, like we're on video. Like, this is a, we're being broadcasted. Leif is dying like Brian.
But he had that, he said it, I don't know if he said it to Ira or who, he's like, yeah, that's the coach's decision, which, I mean, it is, but.
I mean, I get why he's mad. I don't think.
What did he say was worse than what Hassan's been saying about minutes?
I think
so. The dog?
It's all the same. It comes from the same place, and it is not the Udonis Haslam place. End of discussion.
The puppy mill?
Listen, the more you build your team around guys who approach the game like Deion Waiters and Hassan Whiteside, the more you lose. End of discussion.
Leif, what do Hassan and Deion need to do? What do they need to learn?
They need to learn the game.
Rest in peace, Spoon. You know what's funny? My sister.
Yeah, you need to learn the game.
My favorite drop ever. Was that in the best of? Did you add? Oh, no, I guess that wasn't this year, so you could have added the best of.
No. It's in our montage for a 100 episode. By the way, we're nearing up 200 episodes.
Woo! Exciting stuff here. My sister was lamenting the idea of Spoon not being on NBA on Heat Twitter anymore. And I was thinking how, like, probably like half, like, Heat Twitter's a different place than it was back in the Big Three era. And I'd imagine like 75% of the people wouldn't get learn the game, or they wouldn't find the humor in, like, they wouldn't know what that is, or like,
yeah, it's past.
It's past. It's done.
There's, There's no subtlety to Heat Twitter anymore. Like the subtle humor that came up with stuff like Cobra Dick and things like that.
Alf, there's nothing subtle about Cobra Dick and photoshopping horse penises on ESPN personalities.
Maybe you're right, but I did feel like there was a little nuance to it.
We were funny.
I just feel like everything now is just like, ugh, just a bunch of whiny babies.
Well, now everybody hates each other. Like some people don't like Justice better. Some people do like Justice better. You know.
Oh, that's the I hate Justice better crowd.
They're no fun.
Oh my God, I loved it when the Heat broadcast was like, oh, now it's in your face on the Heat broadcast. You put your phone down to get away from it. No, bitch. Jason Jackson is saying it. How about now?
Eric Reed, Justice better.
Now it's not just on those shitty podcasts.
Yeah.
Did you see Winslow making an executive decision? We're going to slow this down. He loves being the Heat's quarterback right now with Dragic out. Winslow ducks in and finishes. Oh, he went to the right hand there, too. That was outstanding move. At 6'7", went to the left, and then an up and under got to the weak hand and was able to convert Justice Winslow. 15 points. He had 7 in the fourth quarter against Orlando a few nights ago. Justice, better, Winslow. He is really opening eyes this year.
Brian, why did you play the god-awful long clip when you just have to cut Eric Reed saying, Justice, better, and then you don't even have to have the Winslow. You can just cut it off at better.
That was
Why
really
did
long.
You play the entire play? Karate's analysis.
We needed Karate, man.
Like, Brian had to have Karate's up and under analysis on Justice Winslow's finishing.
Karate's an expert finisher.
I mean, if you want a short answer, we got to fill 58 minutes, so that's an easy
one. I mean, you could have just put the Justice better and the joke would have resonated. Bang, boom, moving on. To eat it.
Sometimes.
So is Riley going to the Lakers?
Oh, God.
Justice, better.
There you go. There you go.
You hear what Leif wants to talk about.
I know what Leif wants to talk about. Leif wants to talk about these rumors that have Pat Riley going to the Lakers. Now, Leif, want to give the people a little backstory on what the hell's going on here?
Some former video coordinator for the Washington Wizards that's on Twitter. I guess that's who he is. I don't know who the hell he is, but that's what his profile says he is. Said that he heard rumblings that Magic would be interested in having Riley come to Los Angeles and bringing Spo with him maybe a year later or something like that. I have heard nothing that indicates that that is real in any way. So I think that that's just a bunch of smoke. But the only reason why I'm not discounting it is that I know that Riley has a couple times looked at the Lakers as a destination that if he were to go anywhere else and maybe riding off in the sunset, it's a little closer to Malibu. So that's why I'm not closing the door on it. But otherwise, it's just a Twitter rumor.
Leif, it sounds ridiculous. There's no way in hell that Riley would go. Like, if he's going to leave Mickey Arison, it'd be to retire. It wouldn't be to go work with LeBron again.
I just don't see him making any kind of move at that age. Like, I'm only 37, and like when I think about getting a new job, I'm like, oh my God.
Well, and the other part of it,
meet new people. Oh.
That also sounds like a horrible position.
Yeah, and the other thing to poke holes in is that as much as they talk about Riley taking Spo, like to LA, and like that was part of the rumor that surfaced. I don't think Riley and Spo are necessarily seeing eye to eye on everything that's going on and transpiring over the last year and a half. So I don't know that Spo is ready to just follow Riley wherever he goes.
Yeah, I think because Spo is here and this is Riley's team and he understands, but like, why would you just go and like, why would you join him at the hip and move to that same situation again? Like, I don't see Spo doing that at all. Like, I think Spo wants to kind of create and carve out his own legacy at some point, following Pat Riley to LA and then being under the shadow of LeBron and Magic Johnson just does not seem. Now, I could see at some point, like, the Lakers come a-calling and try to grab Spo, but, I mean, the Heat would have to fire him first, and that's
would
never
LeBron
happened.
Want that?
I don't know. And, like, LeBron didn't get along with Spo by the end either, but he also – he probably misses the kind of structure that he used to have.
Structure with Luke Walton?
Yeah, nobody's listening to Luke Walton, bro. Like, nobody. Like, I'm older than Luke Walton.
I think LeBron would appreciate having Riley and Spo back just as much as they would appreciate having Bron. Like, there's a mutual thing there where, yeah, there would be some swallowing of pride and all that, but they also like winning. And I think once he's been coached by all these other guys and he kind of maybe sees what he doesn't have now that he had in Miami.
If Pat does that, does the fan base turn on him?
I think a large faction of it would maybe embrace it.
No way, dude. It depends on who. Pissed.
It depends on who he leaves in charge and what the team looks like when he walks away. If the team looks like it does right now, fan base is going to be pissed.
Yeah, that's the tough spot. You're right about that. It ain't happening anyway, though. It's just a Twitter rumor. And it's not one of mine, so it has no legs.
It's not Saucy Nuggets certified.
All right. Are we going to talk about how Derrick Jones Jr. should be starting over Rodney Magruder?
Alf's crusade against poor Rodney.
I don't have a crusade against poor Rodney. I have a crusade against Rodney playing a lot of minutes.
Okay, so this will kind of tie
you
in.
You said you wanted to shoot your fucking face.
Yeah, shoot me in the... Are you going to write that down? Can I say it again? Shoot me in the fucking face with Rodney Magruder starting. He's been playing less minutes lately.
Fewer minutes.
A lot less minutes, which is good. We're off to a good start.
And less defense.
Oh my God.
Hold on, wait a second.
They keep putting him on these fast little point guards because he's small. It's not working. It's not. He can't guard anybody.
He's a try-hard defender. They just need to find he can't, because they have an excess at point, like at guard, he can never guard the people he's supposed to guard.
Yeah. Y'all think he's like, man, I ain't never shot this much in my entire life. Like, his arms are tired because he's taken so many shots so far this year. So that,
I have no funny. Idea. I feel so bad because I know he's trying. He's trying a little hard out. But Jesus, it's just so, and because they put Justice on the best offensive player on the other side. And usually it's one of the larger wings, right? Then Josh Richardson takes who he takes. And then the little speedy point guard is always left.
Like, Trae Young is poor Rodney Magruder's responsibility.
Oh my, and Trae Young is like, oh, look, free lunch. Like, let's go.
Which, like, is not fair to Rodney.
It's not fair to Rodney. Rodney should be coming out and guarding, like, the other team's third string shooting guard. And so he can flourish, like, how we're supposed to.
You think it's going to be better when they insert Deion and they remove Magruder? And that's the switch, and it ain't Derrick Jones Jr.?
So who's playing small forward? Josh Richardson's back at small forward again?
I don't like that. I kind of think that everyone...
let Justice guard the threes.
Why would you do that to me, Leif? Like, why?
Something that Rohan said on the podcast...
an intuitive feeling.
The last normal show we did, Rohan said on the podcast having Deion guard threes, which I'm surprised nobody called him out on, because that sounds like a horrible idea, and that's going to be a problem.
Deion's a really good defender.
He is a good defender, but he's also really small.
He is small.
And I just think that that's going to be an issue going forward. Like, they're not going to have something that we don't talk about enough is that they've kind of corrected the size issue by starting Justice at point guard.
They 1,000% did. And you were talking about it for so long, and I dismiss you like I normally do your opinions. But you were so right about how small this team. Like, when they were rolling out Goron and RMG and all these guys in the starting lineup, they were so tiny, a bunch of little guards. And now with Justice at point guard is great, except when you get to the three position.
But that's their biggest hole.
That's why you put Derrick Jones Jr. at the three, and like, you have the longest, biggest lineup like you've ever seen in your life. It'd be great.
The problem I see there is just like the non-shooting factor, especially when you have Hassan. Like, I don't know, Justice, Hassan, and
listen, Derrick Jones
and DJJ don't play a lot together.
Deadly from the corners, all right? And Rodney Magruder hasn't been hitting shit lately. So
they oddly have not replaced Luol Deng since he left. And that has been a big hole for them. Like, just
they
that
did with Derrick Jones Jr.
That 3-4 hybrid that can play a little, that can play mostly three, but when you need him to play four, it can play four.
That sounds like JJ that first year, but it ain't worked out like that since.
But he's more of a four, I think. At this point, I think he's a four. He's a full-time four.
But that first year, he was in such good shape that he was quick enough and diligent enough on defense. Like, he could move his feet, and he was crafty enough to guard threes.
I think he's getting back there, man. I really do. I think he's making strides. Like, he doesn't bother me as much anymore. He hasn't thrown the ball into the fourth row in a few weeks.
He doesn't bother you.
That's what I said.
No, listen, I literally watch games.
He's such a big man, Alf.
Certain guys just bother the shit out of me. And like now it's down to a smaller number than it used to be.
Like I know that Alex and me. Like, you know, and I was tweeting about this yesterday about how kind of, you know, now being more involved in, you know, being with Heat players and stuff like that, you know, it's a little different how we tweet and how we talk. And I remembered standing next to JJ because Alex Solana, producer at 560 WQAM, was getting sound from JJ. And I'm standing next to him and I was like, man, James Johnson is an enormous physical specimen that is built as hell. And he could just grab me by the head and rip it off. And these are just like massive men. Like we're talking about James Johnson getting in the right shape.
Listen, if Ira can talk shit about these guys, I can. Right, yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, I have to admit, when I walked up to Hassan in Atlanta, I looked at him. I'm like, damn, that's a big ass dude. You shouldn't be saying some of the shit that I said. I didn't apologize or nothing. But I have. But you're right in that I do not tweet maybe the same exact way.
Yeah. Like, and like, they're just massive people, and you don't real like, I don't know how Kelly can sit in chairs. Like, Kelly Olynyk's sitting in front of us, and I was like, wow, that looks uncomfortable just to sit down as such a big fucking human.
It's not as much that they're big. It's more that, like, you actually interview them, and you see, and they're like, oh, wait, they're human.
Yeah, there you go. You
well, because I got the chance to talk to Rodney, and Rodney's like the nicest. I love Rodney McGrew. Rodney
has feelings, and I'm constantly screaming to shoot me in the face. And but that's the thing. I like Rodney. I think he's miscast as a starting small forward. Like, is that wrong? Like, yeah, sometimes I use colorful language to say that. But this is also a podcast. Like, no one just wants to hear me say, Rodney Magruder shouldn't play the three, and then nothing, dead air.
Rodney Magruder has not been put in positions to succeed. I really believe that.
We'd have a 15-minute podcast every week if that's what we did.
That sounds like some other Heat podcast I've heard.
I was gonna make the locked on joke, but I love Wes and David so much.
Me too. I'm
like they're like guys, shit. Like you should listen to Locked On Heat because they're legit. Like Wes is one of the smartest guys covering the Heat, and David.
If you want like real analysis and not,
they dive deep.
They've dived deep, unlike us. Like we're making jokes and we're making memes, and those guys are
probably the better guests than us now. So.
Yeah, they had Doris Burke. You know, we get Rohan for the ninth time.
Hey,
let me tell you, Rohan
is on with Mannix like once a week now, man.
I know, that's dude. My
eye test stuff has been panning out analytically. All right, so
it always has, right?
Not always, but lately, like I was the first one that was like, yo. This point justice thing is incredible for Josh Richardson. And then later, Nekias has this whole thread of offensive rating and defense. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I said this like.
Him and his 10,000 followers are taking credit for your discovery.
Like, right? I'm like, I did it in like 130 characters. You have a 14 tweet thread about it.
Yeah, so, Gianni, in the club, is it about the eye test or the analytics?
The analytics.
When you're in the club, is about the eye test or the analytics.
It's for me. Like I have, like I'm what texting the girls and I'm asking her a group chat. I was like, I don't know what to say. How should I answer this? I don't know what to do. Oh, she sent me a picture. I don't know how to answer.
He's coming back to the bench for an after timeout play,
bro. Yeah, exactly. I need an ATO. Like I need advice.
Stop
like
on a from half court.
Pick and roll on a napkin.
I was asking my friends if I should send someone a gym selfie if that was a douche move or not.
Oh my! What are you doing?
I didn't do it. I'm a different person. It's very confusing.
Wait, you got a Bumble hit?
I got a Bumble hit, and I was debating whether or not to send her a gym selfie. I didn't like the gym selfie I took.
Why would you send her a gym selfie? Like, what do you think you're proving to her?
Is that she sends me like pictures a lot, and I feel bad because I never send her a picture back. And I was like, I should probably.
Women
send her
don't
a picture
expect
back.
Pictures back from you. I'm
oh,
telling.
Oh, thank
you.
God! I hate
just
taking
send her one of them pictures of you with the flowers in the background. Yeah, you should.
Oh no, you of Kumiko.
Should I send her a picture of me and my me yeah. and the anime cutouts?
No, don't do
no,
that.
Like in one of them fields, you got a bunch of them photos.
When he was in Japan, at
Orchard. No, send her a picture of you with Ethan.
Is that Ethan J. Skolnick?
At the watch parties, yeah.
No, but I'm telling you, like when girls send you Leif, back me up on this. When girls send you pictures, they're not expecting pictures back. Like,
nah, they want comments. They want
feedback. They just want compliments. I don't think they're sending a bunch of selfies back. They're gonna be like,
I haven't sent anything back, but I don't know. I felt bad. I was like, does she expect
you didn't
a picture?
Say nothing?
Huh?
Compliments.
You weren't so I don't leave her on red. Like just
Just and a lot of times, all you have to do is like emojis, a couple eggplants. Don't do the happy face with the hard eyes. They take that really seriously. I've made that mistake.
What does that mean? What do you mean?
Because you start throwing out hearts, love. They get real emotional about
don't
it.
Don't do that.
No hearts.
I did that yesterday. Was that bad?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I said three.
You got to marry her now.
I don't want her.
You should pop the question.
Hey, I know this is sudden, but...
That will be creepy.
You became a sports fan?
It would either propose or send you a selfie.
Do you know Anthony Chang of the Palm Beach Post? He's my friend. Kind of. And by friend, I mean he avoids Post? Me.
Is he still at the Palm Beach
Post? He's at the Herald, though.
Or who could track this anymore?
I do. It's crazy. It's like, you know,
Shando Richardson is my friend on Facebook. That's what I tell girls.
Where does he write? Athletic.
Athletic.
I was like, is it the Post? I don't know. I'm confused.
I'm close personal friends.
Where's Tom D'Angelo?
He's still the Post. He doesn't write heat.
I was like,
they don't write heat at all. Actually, so.
This is like the beginning of the season when you see like, oh, you know, Devin Harris is a buck. Like, whoa, where'd you come from?
Are you familiar with George Sedano? Williams
got traded to the Bulls today.
And he got cut, dude.
And waved.
He got traded for cash and got cut.
I once hosted Drive Time with Ethan Skolnick.
You remember when Michael Carter Williams dropped that triple-double in the first game of the season against
us? Dude, I was so mad. That was on my birthday. That ruined my birthday. I was pissed. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And why can't LeBron and Dwayne do anything about it?
Now he can't get a job.
Jesus Christ. What a start. Triple double, first day of the season, beat the Big Three Heat. Were they coming off a championship? No, they weren't coming off a championship.
Don't forget, though, that's he was an asset.
76ers tanked for him.
He's one of the process. So are we mad? Are we mad at Thibs for getting fired now? Which, by the way, got fired after a win, which is the funniest thing ever.
He won by like 20 and they pulled him in the office.
He was playing the starters up 25.
But you heard Jeff Teague was like visibly upset that they were still in the game with 5 minutes left, up 25.
He helped my fantasy team out. What are you talking about?
Be like, damn, bro, just trying to kill me.
Injury. What are you doing?
Coach trying to kill me. Is that that's probably why they fired him, right?
No, I think it wasn't just because of that.
Nah, I mean, that must have been the last straw.
I think that he lost the locker room, like just completely lost them.
From what I read from The Athletic, it looked like the CEO just pretty much had it with him. Like it had to do more of business than actual like talent management. It had to do more of like the way that it was reacting around the entire franchise, like his presence. Oh,
the whole fan base was like,
yeah. After a win, though? Like,
geez. I'm kind of curious what their season, well, not their season tickets, what their ticket sales are this year.
Am I the only one that still pays attention to our fantasy basketball league?
We have a fantasy basketball league?
Yeah. Are you in it?
I don't think
Leif is in it, and I was playing Leif, and he beat me that week, and he had Steph Curry on the bench the entire week. And like I was actually trying.
I've done fantasy with Leif before. I know that Leif doesn't check.
Yeah. Certain things just slip through the cracks, and that's one of them, fantasy basketball. I want two fantasy football leagues, though.
Who's this?
The Bulls are 29th right now in the league in attendance.
Yeah, that's why Tibbs is gone. There's your reason. Oh, I just got another point in fantasy basketball.
You guys are so lame.
25th in terms of percentage.
The Heat have always done pretty well with the like sales, but the stadium at times looks rather embarrassing.
Listen, I'm going to tell you why. I was in that Doers Lounge the other day, and if I went had a season tickets and access to the Doers Lounge, I would never sit in my seat. Like, there's like this crazy like prime rib buffet up there. And like
you went with Alex, right? I should have gone. You should have said, "Yeah, Alf just like I have tickets to the game." You didn't mention they were Doers Lounge tickets. I would have canceled plans.
I always get good tickets. Shout out to Kit Monahan.
Shout out, give out tickets.
Avid listener,
to Doers Lounge.
Big fan. She's the best.
So,
get her 11th right now in the league.
Everyone's at the Doers Lounge drunk.
The Heat since. They've started like kind of, you know, got their act together. They've played a lot of really good teams and they've either kept it close.
Actually, or third.
Outright beat them. Like Houston, Milwaukee, played a close game against the Lakers, played a close game against the Raptors. Like the Magic, their daddies, they finally overcame the hump of humps.
Like, I put it out there. At one point, the only team with a better record over the last 10 games before the Atlanta game was the Bucks. They were 9-1 in their last 10. The Heat were 8-2. The only team the Bucks lost to was the Heat. So, like, I'm not trying to say that they're as good or better than the Bucks. I'm just trying to say what they've been doing lately is super impressive.
In a hard part of the schedule. Because they've played a lot of hard teams on the road as well.
If they were just like 500 at home.
But they're fixing that. Like, they've honestly had a really good homestand. They're about to, you know, they're coming home to play the Nuggets, which is another really good team. And that'd be an incredible win for them if they can get that win at home.
I mean, they beat the Clippers.
Like, they have a lot of quality wins lately.
And a lot of really terrible losses, like 30 to Atlanta.
But 40. What I'm saying is that I think recently, like, since they got their act together, they haven't had a lot of those really bad losses. They're like, other than the Utah game, which felt anomalous, and then this Hawk game, which, like, was just like...
Yeah, Utah and Atlanta are the two games, like, you don't take anything from those. Those are just, like, super weird. Like, there's no reason. Like, if you can't go back and look at those games and find, like, okay, this is where it went wrong. It's just, like, everything went wrong.
Like, toss the film out, like...
Yeah, when they have that much of a problem scoring, like, that's what it's going to look like.
It'll happen.
Yeah, because they have to hit like 11, 12 threes just to make up for all the, you know, the other empty possessions that they have, because they're not a good, and the fact that they don't have a lot of possessions. So if they're not hitting over, you know, double digit threes in a game, like, there's no way they're going to win that game.
It's just a position, but like, over this stretch, at a time that we thought, and Ethan was one of the loudest saying, oh, schedule's going to get harder, guys. They're going to lose all their games. They're bad. No playoff team. You know, Miami sports.
That voice right there.
Bad place. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, now they're good, and they're reliable, and they're like the surest thing in the market again.
And why? Because I cannot believe he slipped a 10, yo.
Hey, everybody. Seth Levitt and OJ McDuffie of the Fish Tank here, but we're not diving in with a great story right now. Instead, we want to tell you about an incredibly fun upcoming charity event benefiting the Jason Taylor Foundation.
That's right, Big Seth. Wiffle Blast. Man, I can't wait.
I know you're fired up, Juice. The third annual Wiffle Blast presented by Funky Buddha Brewery and Sports Chiropractic and Natural Health Solutions will take place on Saturday, January 19th at Pine Trails Park in Parkland.
Man, you guys do a great job with this event. I played last year with my son and a couple friends, and we really had a blast. From the competition to the home run derby to the kid zone, it was just a perfect day from start to finish. Do I still have time to get my team in?
Yeah, we got you, Juice. We still have room for a few more teams as well. And since the 5 Reasons Sports Network is a media partner for the event, the foundation is offering $100 off the cost of a team if you use
the
code.
They have a team?
Yeah, they have a team. Ethan and those guys. I mean, there's some studs on that
I can't
roster.
Wait to play them.
We'll put you guys in the same division.
All right, that's what's up.
So we're going to put 5 Reasons and Juice in the same division, and if you sign up now, you can be in that division as well and get $100 off the cost of a team if you use the code 5 Reasons. That's the number 5 Reasons. And the best part of it all, OJ, is that your donation will help support children battling cancer as well as pediatric emergencies.
Yeah, you know, that's what matters most.
Absolutely it is. For more information, visit jasontaylorfoundation.org or call 954-424-0799. Ethan, get that arm warmed up.
Hey, this is Parrish from the Light Skin Opinions podcast. And if you haven't been listening to our show, you've been missing stuff like this.
Better super light skin or white buddy on your team. Tyler Johnson, right? Or the little dude who played backup point guard for the Sixers. What's the name?
McConnell?
Yes.
Nah, I'll go with Tyler Johnson.
Johnson.
I'm taking McConnell.
Really?
Hell yeah. McConnell's strong, dog.
And he looked like one of them alt-right dudes.
He looked like it, but he's strong. He don't turn the ball over.
I don't like Johnson, but I don't really like McConnell either.
But you put the ball in McConnell's hands, he comes off the bench for Philly, and he handles their whole team when he's in the game. Like, it runs through him. He's the legit
PG. I can't rock with that haircut, man.
Aw, y'all some haters on the
Even though TJ got some f***ed up haircuts, too.
TJ got bad teeth and everything.
He looked like an Amish... Hoodlum.
I'm going to change my vote. I'm going with McConnell.
Yeah, let's go McConnell. Hey.
Join me, Alf, and Chris every week on the Light Skinned Opinions podcast, only on the 5 Reasons Sports Network.